talking about in our balance. This is part eight. We're talking about fear or faith. And this is where the Lord begins to reveal to us about really, really utilizing the post experience and having that experience where the transition of temperament steps in, and the Lord really, really begins to deal with us here about that. And so here we go. I'll just read the note from back then when the message was spoken on. It's the same note that opens us up. It says, we have been learning a lot about waiting at the post of his doors. We understand that when we wait for him while in the rhema, that he also reveals his temperament, which is also the main part of what authentic faith really is. It gives us precise faith for whatever we may be facing, or just life itself. In Proverbs 8, he tells us that whoever finds him finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. We achieve the bidirectional blessing of salvation and success. Well, the Lord at this particular time revealed to me how we so often mistake our fear as being faith. A lot of our prayers had been born from fear and not from a true position of authentic faith. This is a reason that there is so little movement in terms of expeditious manifestations. This is the reason for delays, and oftentimes there have been denials for petitions. So the Lord told us then, and I say to you again today, get ready for yet another journey in the Rhema word, and let's answer the question, are you praying from fear? Are you prophesying from fear? Are you making petitions from fear, or is it from true faith? In the first part of this understanding, we talked about where fear is, faith isn't. And we look at the story in Mark 4, the account in Mark 4, and it says, and the same day, Mark 4, verse 35 through 41, it says, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And verse 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I see a transition here. And this is, it actually comes up in part two, but I'm going to make mention of it first. They transitioned when he did what he did. They exchanged fear for fear, which we'll talk about in the second part of this segment today. But first of all, he recognized that the fact that they didn't wake him because they understood he had power. Jesus here didn't just rebuke the winds and the sea. He also rebuked his disciples when they asked him, why are you so fearful? And he asked them, why are you so, how is it that you have no faith? Jesus really asked the same question twice. He didn't stop the storm because of their faith. He stopped the storm to build their faith. They came to him in a position where they did not have faith whatsoever in the fact that he had the ability to stop the storm. They didn't come to him. They came to him really suggesting, saying, how come, why aren't you in a panic like we are? Why aren't you afraid like we are? You don't care that we're going to die? So in other words, they're like, dude, why aren't you scared like we are? They didn't know that he had power to stop the storm. They said afterward, which proves that they didn't know, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they approached him in a place of fear. And God was revealing to us through Christ, he was letting us know that so often when we get into prayer about situations that really we're really fueled by fear in not having success on a problem. And God doesn't move by fear. Fear does not move him. It doesn't really activate the omega. It doesn't bring results. And it's the truth. God wants us to learn to live the life in authentic faith. And at this point in time, he's already revealed to us, the fact that there's always a source of it at the post. That when we get to the place of his character, his temperament, he'll make an exchange. He asked them in this particular account, he said, why are you so fearful? Remember, I told you, he said the same thing twice. How is it that you have no faith? So basically, Jesus said this, how are you so faithless? How are you so faithless? When he saw fear, he saw no faith. And you need to understand that when fear is controlling what you're saying and controlling how you're praying, and you have an anxiousness about a circumstance, he's looking at you as being faithless. The word fearful means timid or faithless. You're not going to him because fear. If fear is found, faith is absent. And we need to understand that continually. And God was proving that to us. And he did it at a right time because he did it at a time where we found a source, or we found the source where we could always be filled with authentic faith.
Amen.
So God revealing that fear is faithlessness, he did it at the right time. You know, he winks at ignorance, but he's not going to wink at your ignorance any longer because he's given you the truth. He's not going to wink at ignorance anymore because he's given you the source of where to tap into authentic faith. And that's getting into the posture or the temperament of the Lord. That's finding your way through the rhema word into the mindset of God. So there's no more winking at fear, where God will come behind you by grace and help and clean up some situations. Some of us are struggling in different ways, and some of us are not coming out. Because God is saying to you today, and he was saying to you when he gave this message before, I need to see you in authentic faith. I said the just shall live by it, and I want to see you there. So this is why he wants us at the post of his doors, to gain his temperament and to see his power in all that we do.
Amen.
This is why he wants us there. You have access to unlock the true power of God, and to see him reverse negativity and negative decisions that are flowing through your life. God wants to make that exchange with you, but I'm telling you, the only one being touched in the blessing we learned a long, long time ago is the one true seed. And when he sees faith over fear, he sees his son. He sees the sacrifice of his son and that it wasn't in vain. So now when you're in fear, it's very important to understand this. And this is something the Lord added to in the balance for today. The scripture was in the first time that we taught it, but he really, 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 he had me up early this morning going through my notes, and he really spoke to me strongly here. When you're in fear, you're in the wrong spirit. You're not in the spirit of faith at all. And this is what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If God didn't give it, who did? Well, the word spirit means the mental disposition, right? So the word spirit means mental disposition. God didn't give us a fearful disposition to be afraid or anxious for anything. The Bible says, be not anxious for anything. So God isn't behind that, but there is another driving force behind putting fear in front of you. Because fear, I'm telling you right now, is the one component that will neutralize faith and the power that comes out of faith. So if God's not giving it, we'll see in a minute who could be dishing this thing out. What God gave us was a sound mind, which means self-control and temperance. He's given us temperance. Or he's caused us to be temperate, which, watch this, this remind me of you, Kurt. It means agreeable. We learned in Mark 4 that good ground is affected agreeably. So when you have an agreeable spirit or an agreeable mindset, it means you're outside of fear and you're actually in faith. But every time your mind doesn't agree with the fact that God can and God will show up and God will deliver, God will heal, anytime you're not in agreement, you're in fear. You're in fear. The word spirit, watch this, and we'll look at this in just a second. When we are praying or believing from the fear we are in, we're totally in the wrong mental disposition. This too is why he revealed his temperament being at the post. The word spirit also means, watch this, demon. So there could be another spirit behind, and there is another spirit behind why fear is starting to take over. You're being demonically oppressed at times, and sometimes you don't even know it, but the enemy oppresses the situation. Please tell me how you can be in the same, watch this, you can be in the same problem, but you're in the rhema word, and you make it to the post, and his temperament is on you, but you don't feel the problem. But when you're outside of the rhema word, you now the enemy has access to demonically oppress the problem on you.
Yes.
And that's why fear comes. Because you're in the wrong spirit. You're in the wrong mental disposition. And when you're in the wrong mental disposition, the enemy has access to oppress and create an atmosphere of fear rather than an atmosphere of faith that the rhema word wants to have for you.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
It's all about making it to the post. It's all about staying in our study, because when I'm there, I have faith over fear. Now that faith, Jesus said, if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I can tell that mountain, be thou removed and be thou. That's where my problems get solved. Because I'm in the place of authentic faith, because I'm in his mental disposition. See, Jesus's mental disposition on that boat was not one of fear. He knew they were going to make it. We've talked about this over the last 7 years intensely. We've talked about this. He knew it was Category 5 storm, didn't make a difference to him. He knew his mental disposition did not change from when he said, let us go over to the other side. The rain, the waves, the wind did not change his mental disposition. When he got up, he looked at his boys. He said, why did your mental disposition change? Did I not say we were going to the other side? I'll tell you why. Because the winds, the concern, all the things, the waves, the ship should have cataracted, should have totally capsized and sunk. It's all this. They were looking with natural ocular vision. And the enemy within the winds began to oppress them, and fear filled them. He said, why are you so fearful? Why are you so faithless? I'm asleep back here. My mental disposition did not change. God is letting you know even again today, don't allow your situations to change your temper or his temperance or his mindset from being what's first on you and in you. Don't let it change. Don't let it change and cause you to come from faith into fear. Fear actually is a place where the enemy is tormenting us. We oftentimes are praying from the enemy's camp. And this is what the Lord said to me really intensely this morning. Watch this now. This is really good. If you're still with me, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. We oftentimes are praying from the enemy's camp. We're praying from his prison. Watch this. This isn't the place of faith at all. Not only are we in the wrong posture, but listen, but we are in the wrong spiritual location. Watch this now. And this is what the Lord said to me. Satan dwells in the first heavens. Christ Jesus and the Father are in the second and third, primarily in the third. When we transition back into his temperament, watch this. We also transition into our heavenly seat. That's why I heard you this morning, evangelist. We transition now, but listen, when we transition to, watch this now, when we transition into his temperament, we also transition into our heavenly seat, where the Bible says this in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, even when we were dead, watch this, in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. So when my temperament exchanges, my position or my spiritual location changes, and now I'm in Christ, which means the anointed one, and I'm flowing in that anointing. Now, amen. Now my situation can change by faith, because my location changes with my mental disposition changing. You don't want to be found in the first heavens where Satan dwells and he's ruling. You don't want to be found there and your prayers are only echoing in his hallways. You don't want to be found there. You want to be found in the third heavens where Christ is seated, because that's where your seat is, in the third. And when you reach that place, faith, my God, faith will move mountains.
Yes,
Lord. So temperament is more than just an exchange of a mindset. It's actually an exchange of your spiritual location. It's an exchange. Are you seated on the seat of power, or are you sitting in a dungeon somewhere in Satan's lair? Where are you at, and where's your prayer being heard? Where is it at? Because when you pray from fear, it's only being heard in Satan's domain. God's not hearing a prayer coming out of fear. He's only going to let you know that you have no faith right now. Why are you so faithless? Here we go. You see, authentic faith, which is God's mental disposition or temperament, positions us back into the seat of power with the anointed one and his anointing, Christ the Lord. Now watch this. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And this is something that we see in the example of the centurion man. This man was dynamic. In Luke 7, verses 1 through 10, it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loved our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house of the centurion, The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto him, unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Matthew's account says it like this in 8:13 of Matthew. It says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. So the centurion, listen, the centurion didn't just have a rhema about Jesus here. He also had his frame of mind. When you believe, oh God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. When you believe, truly believe, oh my goodness. When you truly believe on Jesus, you don't just believe in Jesus or believing on Jesus like that. No, true belief is having his mental disposition.
Amen.
This is what Jesus saw in this man.
Amen.
You see, you say, you may go to him and tell him this here, and you can say it with your mouth, and I'm going to challenge everybody on this line. You say you believe on to him because you know that that word will maybe release your breakthrough. It might get you into the place where you want to be. That, and so you go and you tell him you believe, but your mind is really saying something different. This man didn't just say how he believed. He took on the mental disposition, proving his belief, proving that he was in a place of authentic faith. See, just because you say, I believe you can, but then you have this drudging heaviness over you, even though you're saying you believe. No, that's not the right mental disposition. You're feeling heavy, you're feeling oppressed, but you're still just saying out of your mouth that you believe. No, if you believe, you would tap in to the mental disposition of God and show God that you believe.
Amen.
You'll tap into his temperament. That's where God can. That's where God will. So this centurion didn't just have a rhema about Jesus. He also had the frame of his frame of mind. And God shows us how he got it. Through his own experience as a leader, the Father was able to give him the temperament of Jesus. Remember, no one knows the Son but the Father. So there's no way that the Father wasn't on the scene in the fellowship here. This man's faith was precise and the results were instantaneous. When Jesus heard of his faith, it was more than words being spoken, but he heard and felt his own frame of mind. That shows him and that tells him you believe. When you stand shoulder to shoulder with him.
Amen.
When you stand shoulder to shoulder, I'm reminded of an athlete named Michael Jordan. You see, I had the mental disposition back in the day, and I know Kurt did because that's his boy, that's his dude. Listen, this man went out and did what he had to do, and you believed that he wasn't going to let the Chicago Bulls down when they needed him. And you had the same mindset. That was his mindset. That's belief. Think of someone that you know always got the job done in any area of sports or work or whatever. You believe that they're going to come through for you. That's believing. You have the mental that's the mental disposition they're holding. That brings the power of agreement. Just to give you a feel in case you've never felt it, when you have the mindset of knowing that you know that Jesus can and Jesus will, and you're in that same temperament, not moved by the circumstance or situation, you're in the place of authentic faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you stand there shoulder to shoulder with him in the same frame of mind, that's what the centurion man did. And look at the results he got. Instant manifestation. Hallelujah. Now, there's also another account that God gave us here in John chapter 4. It was about a certain nobleman. And I'm amazed by this story. I really am. And I really enjoyed going back over it again. I'm amazed by this one, truly amazed by it. It's a sleeper, but it's real good. It says in John 4:46-53, it says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. I love you, Lord. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except, he's talking right to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman, I love with God, the Father put this man. The nobleman, he wasn't stunting Jesus. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down or my child die. Jesus heard that. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was now going down, it says, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Watch out. This guy did not believe in Jesus per se. He just knew Jesus had power. He knew he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He was not saved. But one thing this man did know, he heard that this guy can get it done. Jesus told him and tried to kind of just tested him. Lest you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. The man did not care what Jesus had to say. He said, sir, come down or my son is going to die. He did not get sidetracked by the word, not even what Jesus was testing him. And what Jesus saw here, I saw two postures on this man. I saw the posture of the ox that the father put the mental disposition on him to endure past whatever he might hear and keep going to Jesus. And then I saw the posture of the eagle where this man had a vision or had vision to the fact that Jesus could heal his son. So the fact that the man did not get sidetracked by what Jesus said showed Jesus that this man had the mental disposition of the father. He had the mental disposition of the ox and that he did not care. Sir, come down lest my son dies. I don't care what you got to say about signs and wonders. You just need to come and do what I'm asking you to do. Ox was on him. Jesus saw the mental disposition of the posture of the ox. He also recognized the disposition of the eagle, that this man had vision to the fact that I could heal his son. That created a place or a realm of authentic faith. The Bible says that at the end, when he found out what time this boy got healed, that's when the man believed and got saved. Him and his whole house. So the amazing thing here is that the man wasn't even a believer in Jesus the Messiah. But he did believe in him for the power. Jesus even said to the people, he said this, if you don't believe me for the work's sake. In other words, if you can see and have faith in something that I do, I can get it done.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, my God, does anybody see that? Man, oh man, it's worth staying in the mindset of God, whether you're an ox, man, eagle, or lion. It's worth being in the mental disposition. Why? Because any one of those postures can get your miracle to you.
Thank you.
The amazing thing here is the man was not a believer in Jesus as the Messiah at that time, but he did believe in him for the power and authority he walked in. So Jesus tells him, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. This man, this is amazing. I got to say it again. It's amazing. This thing didn't even deter. He didn't get deterred by that statement. Fear of his son dying. Watch this. And this is where we see faith over fear. Fear of his son dying did not overtake him. He said, man, get down to my house and lay your hands on my son unless he dies. Again, the posture of the ox and eagle were present on him. He had vision that Jesus could heal his son, and he stayed his course. That's the ox in authentic faith. Jesus once again has to honor this man being in the right temperament. He then inquires about the hour his son was healed. The miracle was confirmed as an act of Christ, and then him and his whole house believed or got saved.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, God.
Faith moves him. Authentic faith gets it done. But authentic faith is not you quoting a scripture. Authentic faith is not you trying to convince God that you believe. Authentic faith is putting on the mental and receiving the mental disposition and just receiving it. Whether you're moving, I feel the anointing on the line right now. Whether you're moving as a man, you're moving in weakness until strength comes. Because that's what comes in your weakness as man, perfect strength. Or maybe the endurance is there. You're in the right mental disposition. But don't let fear outweigh your faith. Knowing who Christ is, when you come to him, the centurion knew him. This nobleman only knew a piece of the fact that he can work miracles. I don't care whether he's the Messiah or not. I know this guy gets it done. Man, listen here. Just knowing a part of who Jesus is. The more you know, obviously, the better. But my goodness, knowing a part of who Jesus is will keep fear out and keep faith in. So let the mental disposition, let it rest on you. Let it rest on you. Let those transitioning of those four postures, let it move through you like lightning. One moment you might have to be man, but the next you're seeing like eagle, moving and roaring like the lion, whatever. I'm telling you, let meet him at the post and let him exchange fear for authentic faith. And say unto the mountain, recognize and discern that you're in his temperament. Please, before you open your mouth to pray or you open your mouth to prophesy, recognize that his temperament is on you. Don't do it from a place of fear. You don't have to be fearful. Perfect love, which is Christ our Lord, casteth out all fear. And this is what God said to me about that this morning, and we were in fellowship for a few hours. This is what he said. He said, you know, Todd, perfect love is really you walking in the temperament of my son.
Hallelujah, God.
He said, that is perfect love. And that's why fear can't penetrate.
Amen.
I said, amen, Father. I said, yes. He said, that's when I'm perfectly loving you. I become your shield and your buckler here. My perfect love is to give you my son. And you get to wear him. And he gets to protect you and keep you. And fill you with faith. I said, yes. I said, amen, Father. I said, amen. Amen. So no more, anybody that's on this line or anybody under the sound of my voice, no more will you talk to the Father or to the Son or even to the Holy Spirit in a place of fear. It's a waste of your time. He didn't die for you to live in fear. Fear, the Bible says, has torment. And it does. And fear is tormenting. It torments us, man. The fear of death is torment. It speaks to us about that in the book of Hebrews. Fear is nothing but a tormenting demonic spirit coming from the bowels of hell. And I'm telling you right now, trying to put you in the wrong spirit so faith will be neutralized. Well, God didn't call us to that. And he's given us a major key on how to stay out of fear. A major key. Wait daily at my gate. Watch daily at my gate. Wait at the post of my doors. Just wait for me. How do I get there, preacher? How do I get there? Stay in the word. Stay in the rhema word of God and you'll get there. There'll be an exchange of temperament through the rhema word. In part 8 continued, the Lord from fear to faith. It's 10:58. I'm going to get through some of this. I might not get through it all. Part 8 continued from fear to faithful. It actually should say from faith to faithful. And so we go from this place of what we call faith to a deeper dimension of being actually found in faithfulness. All right. And faith, true faith, is faithful. And true faith is faithful. And so the Lord was teaching us how to truly come into the authentic place of faith at this time. He was canceling fear and giving us the precise faith. At the post of his doors, a key to faith has been added. the frame of mind of the Lord. This is when he really began to teach us on being in the frame of his mind. And his temperament, to go alongside the rhema word we've been given. Now he is ready to perfect this truth in us and for us. Again, I say today we will learn how faithfulness replaces all fear and will be equipped, and we will be equipped for total salvation from the inside to the outside. Our bi-directional blessing is here. And we're going to skip over the Mark account because we read that. And we're going to go right down here. Remember, fear means faithless. All right. And we come to this segment called Square Your Shoulders and Go From Fear to Fear. It sounds funny, but it's a segment called Square Your Shoulders and Go From Fear to Fear. Again. And so we learned here that there is a healthy fear, and there is it's really powerful. I told you when I first started how they feared exceedingly after Jesus got up, rebuked the winds, and stopped the storm. They were in a place of fear because of the storm, but there was an exchange from fear to fear. The fear they had of Jesus was a reverence, respect. It actually really planted a seed of faith. A true seed of faith was planted when they saw that. And the Bible says that fear is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. It's the beginning of where understanding sets in. And when they saw him move like that, that fear was exchanged. Now, their situation, they were no longer trembling because of the storm. They were trembling at the feet of God. And that's a good place to be. It says in Matthew, we look at this account real fast. It says in Matthew 10, 25 through 31, it says, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Let me tell you something. And first of all, when you fear, and this is something, this is hot off the press right now, but the Lord just whispered this to me. When you fear your situation, you're actually reverencing and worshiping that your situation. But when you fear God and fear the Lord, it's not the fearful, dreadful fear, but it is reverence that you have. And so what you do is you esteem him greater than your problem. You magnify him, really. That's what magnify the Lord means. You're esteeming him bigger and stronger than your situation. So what you're doing is whoever you're fearing is who's going to dominate your mental disposition. Good. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Good.
All right. Amen. So amen. Amen. So whatever you're fearing is what you're actually reverencing. I'm not going to reverence my lack. I'm not going to reverence sickness. I'm not going to reverence disease. Why? I keep that as it's really having another God before him, and it's putting that thing above him. And that's why faith, what you're praying from, praying out of fear, won't move. It doesn't move him. You're praying out of fear. It doesn't. You're not praying inside of faith. You're really, my God in heaven. You're being blocked by the problem, and you've esteemed the problem greater than God. Now we're crossing over into idolatry. Imagine that. How fear is jacking us up. We're reverencing something more than we reverence God. No, that can't happen. It says, "But fear not them that which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." That's talking about the Father, obviously. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Boom. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. He's trying to get fear out of here in this text. So when we exchange at the post of his doors, we exchange really, there's a fear for fear. Also in the exchange, there's a right reverence is all I'm saying. We exchanging reverence to the situation to reverencing the Father as being the one that obviously we call him Omega, the one that can bring results above and beyond what your problem is presenting.
Amen.
So he exchanges us being frightened of our situation and coming to a place of fear or reverence for God and his power. We are so covered and protected at the gate. Truly, it's here that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And that's real talk. We look at this account in Daniel. What time we got? We're going to stretch out for a minute. We look at this account in Daniel. In Daniel 6, I'm not going to read from verse 5. I'm going to actually tap in at verse 16. All right. We see this. Daniel gives us an example of going from just not having faith, but being faithful. All right. And this is something that we need to hear really, really strongly. When you have faith and you're moving in real, authentic faith, if you're not faithful to that faith, then you really don't have faith. Let me say that again. When you're not faithful to the faith that he's given you, then you really don't even have faith. What's the point? Let me make it plain. What's the point of learning about the post exchange of temperament if you're not faithful in doing it? You really don't have faith in it. If you just a listener on a Sunday and you want to get in on Thursday meeting, but you're not faithful, I think James tells us be a faithful doer.
Amen.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. But when you're not faithful to the faith, you really don't have faith. And that's true. That's true. Okay, let's look at Daniel for a minute. Just for a minute. You guys still with me? You guys hanging in there?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, amen. It says here, then the king commanded. Now, this is a story about Daniel, obviously, in the lion's den, how the some of the nobles or the princes or the presidents, the Bible calls them, I believe, calls them the presidents that were there, were really jealous of Daniel, jealous of the relationship he had with the king. And, you know, God's favor was on him, all this stuff. And Daniel did not pay attention to the worship of the king like other folks did. And Daniel was free to worship the God of heaven, the one true God. And so they didn't like that. And they said, okay, we'll get Daniel in trouble. We'll get him off the scene. What we'll do is we'll get the king to sign a decree that everybody got to come and worship him. Nobody can pray to their gods or who they believe in for such an amount of time. And if they do, they will be subject to death. So then Daniel gets caught doing that. Windows wide open. He's not hiding nothing. He bowed three times a day, which we love to hear. Three times a day, Daniel went to the post. Three times a day, Daniel worshiped God. Three times a day, faithfully, irregardless of what the decree was. So then verse 16, we pick up here. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords. That the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I love Daniel's answer. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. My God, let me just. When we're in the temperament, this is why we are called the righteousness of God. When we're in the temperament from being before him, everything that you were, though your sin was as scarlet, it is changed to being as white as snow. Innocency is on you. Righteousness is on you. Not just my goodness, not just this awesome dimension of faith, but my God, you are in the righteousness. You have rights to be protected. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you and washed you. My goodness, when your temperament exchange happens, God sees nothing but innocence on you. You are right worthy to receive your miracle, your breakthrough, your blessing, your relief, the aid from God. He says here, as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding. Nobody said amen to that. At least you must be on mute, because that is some good stuff. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. This is where we get to. The word believe there means to be faithful. Your faith transitions from the place of just having faith to becoming faithful. This becomes where the Bible has been talking to us about the just shall live by faith. You're faithful to it. You stay in it. This becomes your life. You got to see this now. This was Daniel's life. He wasn't doing it out of being ritualistic.
Yes, yes, yes.
Daniel had a relationship with the, I'm telling you right now, with the Father. It was more than just something they were taught at Hebrew school. It was way beyond that.
Amen. Amen.
Daniel had fellowship with Alpha and Omega at the post. Daniel was fellowshipping and with the triune God of heaven. Daniel was doing what God has ordained for us to have been be doing and for how we should be living in fellowship with God. It wasn't just some prayer where he beat his head on the wall to try to show how religious he was. He believed. He was faithful. He spoke to the God of heaven and earth. He talked to him. He felt God on his life. There was favor all over Daniel. This was real. His faith was in the realm of being faithful.
Amen.
When you believe about living your life at the post and living in the temperament, walking in Christ, if I've got to put it in the old terminology, but yet still the word, if you believe of being in the Spirit, you'll be faithful to what you've learned to get there. Your faith has to become faithful. So when we truly get rid of fear, we go from having faith to being faithful. Daniel went to the post of his doors 3 times a day. He stayed in the frame of mind and put nothing else before our God. This is where your faith is seen by God. Yes, in the moment of desperation, you may press to the post of his doors, but true faith is faithful. This is an old note. True faith is faithful. Will you be faithful to go daily as Daniel did? You see, when Daniel was faced with extreme fear, he didn't fear because he was faithful. My God, hear that. He was not scared in the lion's den. Why? Because Daniel was already in the, you know, he had to be in the temperament of the Lord.
Amen. True.
There was no fear there. Listen to his response. The king says, Daniel, was your God able to protect you? Was he able? Oh, king, chill out, live forever. That response is awesome. It speaks volumes. He didn't say, okay, he got me through the night. I don't know about right now. Can you do something about this? No, he said, oh, king, live forever. He was totally in the temperament of Christ. Completely. Why? Because Daniel's faith positioned him in faithfulness. He went before him three times a day, talking to him, communing with him. Faithfulness also produces the perfect temperament of God, which we have to understand that. We the just should be living by this faith. That's the old note still, which means to me, we the just should be faithful in dwelling in his temperament. When we start being truly faithful, we too will suffer no hurt, just as Daniel did. I'm going to read this here, and just the definition of hurt we'll pick up here on Thursday. The definition of hurt means destroy or ruin, wind tightly as a rope, to bind, to be broken, or corrupt. The one that stuck out to me then and still sticks out to me now is wind tightly as a rope. When you're faithful, you'll never be wound tightly as a rope. Problems will rise, but you'll never be wound tightly as a rope. Situations may get out of control, but you'll never be wound tightly as a rope. Stress won't be a silent killer in your life. It won't have any place in you. You'll never be wound. There'll be no hurt. Why? Because your faith turned into you being faithful. You'll never be out of position to sit in faith and believe God. You'll never see destruction. You'll never see ruin. My God, you'll even be protected from any corruption.
Amen. Amen, God. Amen.
Because you're faithful. And when you're walking in that temperament, oh my goodness, destruction, ruin, you'll never be wound. You'll never be bound. You'll never get broken, and you'll never be corrupted. God wants that for us.
Yes, he does.
He wants it for us. He wants us living in a life of faith, and that faith becomes faithfulness unto him. Amen. It becomes, listen, it doesn't even just become faithfulness unto him. It becomes faithfulness unto yourself. Because the one that's going, yes, God receives his inheritance in the fellowship. Yes, he does. You are his inheritance, but you're also receiving life and life more abundantly. So being faithful isn't just for God. It's for you too. It's for us. Put this on every single day. Wear it. Amen. It is your robe of righteousness.
Amen.
Wear it, my God. Wear it proudly, wherever you are. Wear it, and you'll always have the anointing right there at your disposal, right there to be used and to favor you. You'll always have God's protection, God's aid. Hallelujah. I feel you, Master.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I feel you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, yeah. You've taught us so much. Lord God, you've taught us so, so much. You've said so, so much to us in this message. You've spoken so much, and you've given us so much insight, and the revelation of it all is tremendous. It's truly tremendous. And now us being faithful to this, us understanding the power that's found at the post, the temperament that comes upon us, understanding Alpha and Omega fellowship is a part of our faith. Help us to be faithful, benefiting, yes, you, giving you glory and giving you honor. But in truth, it benefits us too. It benefits us so much. Father, we're grateful for Mark 4 because it really teaches us how to stick to things, to stick to the word. This word is one I believe that's vitally important for us to stick to.
Amen.
And as we're moving forward in the series of Abounding Winds, and the fruit will change from faith to whatever else you're revealing, this has to be imprinted on us forever. If there's a touch, or you can breathe on us or wave your hand toward us or whatever, to instill faithfulness to this message and this fellowship, I would greatly appreciate it to be done today.
Yes, God.
That we stay faithful, Master.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
That we stay faithful to this. This is our place of great grace. This is our place of restoration, healing, and deliverance. It is our place where we find your power. Your love is all in it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Master, please. Please. Lay your hands on all of us today. In part, this absolute faithfulness to this life of faith. For we, the just, will live by it. And so I'm asking you, please, Lord, breathe. Never to be lost again.
Yes, Lord.
Never to be lost again, Jesus. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, moving and talking to you from his temperament. I thank you that there's healing and deliverance for all that are listening right now, that you're moving right now. It might be from a topsy-turvy life and relationship with you to one that is fully stabilized today and forever. But I thank you for your anointing that's on this line. I thank you for the anointing that is on this line, and I thank you for moving every mountain from out of our way. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
While the anointing is on the line, if you're sowing, you sow under this anointing. Sow from right here. Sow from his temperament today. On Wednesday, or I believe Wednesday, Elder Allison will have an excerpt on doing that very thing. We taught two segments on sowing from the temperament, and that it's something that's really powerful. Sow from his temperament. From the mental disposition that he has you in right now is where you want to release your tithe. You want to release your offering, any seed you're sowing into the word or whatever. You want to do it from here. Do it from this place. It is the highest level of reverence. It is the hallelujah that you're not even saying. It is the highest praise to be able to sow and bless God from here. It really is. It really, really is. There's an anointing. There's a serene anointing on the line right now. There is peace. I mean, a tremendous peace that is manifesting in our atmospheres. The temperament of the Lord is strongly upon some of you right now. I mean, strongly. Glory be to God. Yes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Curtis Kegler says to us, Minister Kurt says to us, this is really good. Elder Allison says, hallelujah. Elder Donna says, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. And Elder Allison says, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen for your agreement, you three, you pillars.